welcome everybody. We are so glad you're here. We want to welcome those of you who are joining us online. Welcome those of you who are joining us at all four of our campuses, South San Jose, North San Jose, Sunnyvale, Fremont. Let's put our hands together for our campuses joining us all across Silicon Valley. We are so glad you're here. This is the last week of a message series we've been doing as a church called Irresistible. And we've been looking at this idea of God wanting to use your life to make an irresistible difference in the community around you, at your place of work, at your school, in your family. And God has placed inside of every single one of us dreams and gifts and talents that he wants to unleash to use our lives to make a difference here on planet Earth. And this series we've been tracking through, first of all, we started off with this idea that the Holy Spirit, the power of God, really is what we all need to be able to make the kind of difference that God wants us to make. Pastor Philip did a great job in the second week talking about this idea of loving and being a source of light to the community. Last week, we looked at this idea that there are people in your life specifically that are waiting on an invitation from you, that you're investing and inviting them to both church and relationship with God can make a massive difference. Now, if you're new to our church, our hope and our prayer is that throughout the course of this series that you've gotten to see behind the curtain or under the hood, that you've seen our vision, our heart, and really that that's inspired you. Maybe even you're coming and you're not a follower of Jesus. Our hope is that you would see how much you matter to us, how much you matter to God, and why we do church the way we do so that your life can be impacted. Now today's message is one of those messages that sometimes when I'm preparing a message as a pastor, people often ask me, like, how do you prepare a message? And we go away once a year as a staff, we plan, we prepare, but then every so often, like, God will just intervene with something. And today, I have just been sensing that there is a work that God wants to do in you and in our church that is very unique. And the message today is probably not for everybody, but it is for somebody. And part of how it started for me was with my son, who's 13 years old. Last week, we were sitting down for homework, and he has an iPad that he uses for schoolwork. So we're like in this really new season as a family where we're not really sure if he's doing his homework or he's playing games on his iPad. And part of the problem is his school that he goes to requires him to have an iPad. So everything is on the iPad, from classes to games to, you know, his messages with friends. And like, you can try now with Apple devices to lock it down, but these kids are so smart. Like, they know hacks around it. They know how to make me look really bad. And he's like half the time playing games. So I never know. I never know if he's playing games or he's actually doing his schoolwork. So one day he's sitting down last week and he's on Minecraft. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he said, I'm doing my homework. I'm like, you are not doing your homework playing Minecraft. And he's like, no, I'm doing my homework. Come over here and look at it. So I go and I sit down and he says, hey, this is a city I'm building for one of my classes. And so he shows me this whole city that he's built. And so he has buildings and he had like all these companies and skyscrapers. And he's been building this thing for over a year and a half. He has church buildings. Most of them are nicer than our church buildings. They're awesome, like these cathedrals. So I'm like going back and forth. I'm like, one day you're going to actually be building buildings for our church. And he's like, well, you're going to have to pay me. I'm like, no, I'm not. You're going to do it for free. And a thought struck me when I'm looking at these cities that he's building, and the cities that are there on the Minecraft app are these visions and dreams that are inside of this little 13-year-old kid. And what struck me is that those cities on an iPad one day could become real cities in our communities around us and the world around us. And just like my 13-year-old son, there are dreams and visions that God has placed inside of you and inside of me that you and I, we decide whether or not those things become reality. And God has placed inside of somebody who is here today, who is listening to my voice, who is listening to the message today. There's something that God has been stirring within your heart, and there is this internal dialogue that is going on inside of your head. There are all these doubts and disbelief that is speaking against the very vision that God has placed inside of you. And I believe that there is even a teenager in our church, one of our students, or there is somebody who's a young adult that God has been stirring for years inside of you. And the enemy has been doing everything he can to get you to doubt that calling that God has placed inside of you. And I believe today that God has sent me to begin to unleash some of what's already there so that you can act on that dream that he has placed inside of your heart. And I believe that there's a freedom that is going to come today, and there are going to be some of you that you've been waiting on the sideline to take that step of faith to move into action with something that is inside of you. And we're going to talk about that doubt, that internal dialogue, and what God would say to you about what's inside of you so that you would move to action. We're going to look today at a story that is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I say that a lot because I have a lot of favorite stories, kind of like I have three favorite kids. And this story right here is found in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. And we're going to find that in this story, there are multiple things that are happening. So Moses is going to be called by God to make a difference for the nation of Israel. But before we get to Moses, we have to first understand what's going on with Israel. See, at this time, Israel is in a really bad situation. In fact, if you go to the end of the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, at the end of Genesis, the whole nation or the whole tribe of Israel has been taken to Egypt through Joseph. Now, Joseph had a dream. God put a dream inside of him that he would become this powerful leader. And that dream came to fruition by the people of Israel moving from Israel because of famine to Egypt. And God protected a nation through Joseph's dreams. Great story. You should go read it. But a few hundred years passed, and later, after the Israelites had been protected in the land of Egypt, now they were placed into slavery. And as the people of God, they're being beaten, whipped, they're being mistreated by the Egyptian king, and there's a lot that's happening. They're exhausted, they're broken, they're hurting, and they're crying out to God for an intervention. They're in bondage, and they're asking God to intervene on their behalf. Now, Moses is watching all this unfold, and he has a very unique story because he ends up being adopted by the Egyptian king, but he's an Israelite. And so he grows up as an Israelite, as an adopted child of the Egyptian king, and he watches all this unfold. So he has a very unique view of all of it. And one day he's watching one of his Israelite brothers being mistreated by an Egyptian, and he decides that he's going to go out and beat this Egyptian, and he literally beats the guy to death and buries him in the ground. And after burying him in the ground, he looks around and nobody sees him, so he decides that he's going to just like run away because he hopes that nobody finds out. Well, sure enough, people find out, and he gets far into the wilderness as far as he can get away from Egypt and the Egyptian king, hoping that nobody would find him. Yet when he gets there to the other side of the desert, far, far away, he's going to have an interaction with God. And I think that for many of us today, this is the same kind of interaction that God wants you to have with him. And he wants to unleash something inside of you. Now watch this. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. It says, God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant, his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I love that we have a God who hears our prayers, that every one of those moments of grief in your life where you feel in bondage or you're anxious or worried, that God is never more than a prayer away from your anxiety. He's never more than a prayer away from your biggest fear. And as the Israelites are crying out, God heard the prayer of the Israelites. He saw their bondage, and it mattered to him. It mattered that the people he created, that he loved, that he knew, it mattered to him that they were hurting and suffering. Every child that is sold into prostitution, every one of the 30 million people on our planet that currently are in slavery, and every person that is in bondage spiritually, God knows. He hears, he sees it. And it says that he heard their groanings. Go back. He remembered his promise, his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's going to start to do something now. And it says that he looks down on the people of Israel, and he knew it was time to move. He knew it was time to act. He had had enough. God heard the prayers, he heard the groaning, and he's going to act. Now, I want you to notice from this story, whenever God sees a problem, whenever God notices that there's an issue on planet Earth, how God moves. It says, God heard, and he responded. He knew it was time to act, and here's what he does. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. So remember, again, he is as far away as he can get from Egypt. He's met a woman. He's gotten married. He's had kids. He is in the wilderness as far away as he can get from the problem. But when he gets there, it says the angel of the Lord shows up and appears to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared at it in amazement, which I think you would probably do too. Like if there's a bush in front of you and it's burning and there's an angel inside, you're going to stare at it. Kind of like sometimes your eyes are just drawn to the things around you and you can't. Like if there's an ambulance and you see those lights, your eyes are just drawn. And Moses' eyes are drawn to this bush. He can't stop staring at it. So he goes over to it. And the angel of the Lord that's inside looks at it, and it says that the angel was there, the bush was engulfed in flames, and it didn't burn up. And Moses keeps walking towards it, and the angel says, don't come any closer, because where you are is holy ground. Stop right there, Moses. Like, don't take another step. And Moses is going to have this dialogue with God. Now, I want us to see the same kind of conversations that happen in scripture between God and people are the same kind of conversations that can happen today. Your God, who created you, who knows you, who formed you, who shaped you, wants you to encounter his love and converse with him about your doubts, about the things that are happening inside of you, about your fears. And Moses is going to show us, like, even the freedom that we have to share our biggest doubts and fears with God. Now watch what God says to Moses. It says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. I see it. I feel it. I know what they are going through. Now, Moses, go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Every time God sees a problem here on planet Earth, God's A-plus plan is to raise up a human being to solve the issue. God uses ordinary people to solve problems here on planet Earth, and God raises up leaders. When there is an issue of slavery, God will find somebody like William Wilberforce. When there's an issue of racial injustice, God will find a Martin Luther King Jr. When there's gender injustice, God will put a vision inside of somebody's heart. He'll raise people up to solve problems on planet Earth. And Moses is God's chosen leader for the nation of Israel. And God comes to Moses and says, now, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I'm going to bring these millions of people out of slavery. Now, imagine if you're Moses at this moment. There's probably a few things happening in your mind. First of all, you already know that your people are struggling, and there's probably a side of you that's like, yes, God finally is going to act on my behalf. But Moses, he's got a whole another set of issues, and now immediately when God gives the calling and the vision to him, he has a whole list of reasons why God can't use his life. And I think probably for many of us today, we can relate to the list of reasons that Moses is going to bring up. I want you to see three doubts that Moses has that he so readily shares with God. Now watch what he says. He says, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Now I wondered, like, what his intonation was at this point. Was it a whine? Was it like a, you know, just a girl that's fishing for compliments, like I'm so ugly, I'm not good enough, or a teenage guy that feels insecure? Like, what is the tone of Moses? But his first statement out of his mouth after God gives a dream and a vision is, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Because there are a million plus of them, and Pharaoh is the strongest leader on the face of the planet, and he has pretty strong chains on these people. So how am I, Moses, here at the end of the desert, going to lead this whole nation of people out? And the first doubt I want us to see Moses has is, I'm unqualified. Maybe you feel like that from time to time. Maybe even you feel that as a parent, like these kids came and there's no manual with how to raise them. Or maybe you feel that in marriage, like you got married and you read a bunch of books on marriage, but then it was way harder than you thought it would be. Or maybe it's like that for you as a student, that you just feel unqualified for the task that's at hand. And there are all these doubts that come into our minds. I remember when God began to put this dream inside of my heart to start a church for people who'd never experienced his love. And I had no seminary experience. I had no ministry experience. And I felt so unqualified. And maybe today you feel like there is something inside of you that God is placing there. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a prompting that keeps coming back. Every time you pray, it's there. Every time you go to journal, you think about it. Every time you're stuck in traffic and you're like, you can't move, you just keep thinking about this thing that God is doing inside of you. But that doubt is right there. And immediately, there are all these reasons why you can't do it. And the phrase, I'm unqualified, comes up over and over and over again. And a part of what happens inside of us when we feel unqualified, like Moses, first of all, we think, my past is so messed up. Like if you knew all the things that I have done, if you understood my brokenness and my anxiety and my addiction and my choices that I've made, you wouldn't want me to do this, God. You wouldn't have chosen me. God, if you knew that I found an Egyptian and I beat him in his face so bad that he died and I buried him in the ground, you would go ahead and find somebody else. But I believe God has sent me here to tell you this today, that there is somebody here who needs to hear this, that your past doesn't disqualify you. Your past, it prepares you. See, there are parts of you that are broken and you feel so worthless because of it. And God is saying, I am not choosing you because the perfection of your past. Like, I kind of wonder with Moses if there is a part where God is saying, finally, I found somebody who cares enough that they'll actually do something. Like, I am so grateful that there is somebody who's not going to stand by and just watch their people suffer. And that thing inside of Moses that maybe seems to disqualify him perhaps is an asset that God looks at and says, I'm going to leverage that very thing. Yeah, Moses, I know, like, let's stop beating people and burying them in the ground. That's not good. We're like done with that whole murdering thing. But your passion, your intensity, your concern for your people is the very thing that I want to leverage. There's something that is in your past that a part of you, you keep writing it off as the reason why God shouldn't use you, and God sees it as your greatest asset of why he wants to use you. See, your past doesn't disqualify you. Your past prepares you for what it is that God wants to do in your future. And part of what's happening today is there are some of you that your past is still in your present, and the thing God wants to say to you is the reason it's still in your present is because you keep making a choice to make it in your present. So today you can put the past, is it Timon and Pumbaa? So put your past behind you. And for some of us today, it's a choice to say it's in the past. God saw it. God knows. God, in fact, that's why Jesus died on a cross, was for your sin and my brokenness. And he doesn't choose anybody because of their perfection or because of the perfect past that they have. Your past doesn't disqualify you. It prepares you. See, the other thing I think probably is going through Moses' mind at this point is I'm unqualified. The problem is way too big. Problem is way too big. There are too many Israelites who are in bondage in Egypt, and the Pharaoh is way too powerful for me to overcome him. You know, I am so glad that there are so many people that God has used throughout human history who did not say the problem was too big. I'm really grateful that Philip and Jessica Pattison, who are a part of our team here, who lead Foster the Bay, would look at the close to 2,000 children in orphan care or in foster care here in Silicon Valley, that they would look at that and they would not say, oh, the problem is too big. But they looked at it and said, perhaps God would act on our behalf and use our lives to make a difference. Many of us, we're so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the problems that exist in our community that we fail to do nothing. That when God stirs in our heart, the first thing is, well, the problem is so big, how can I even make a difference? And what I believe God wants to say to you is the same thing that he said to Moses. In other words, and I think this is important, I want to encourage you to write this down, that there will always be a gap between your capacity and your calling. If you are going to be used by God, the vision that God puts inside of your heart will always be beyond your capacity. And so many of us, we're waiting until our capacity catches up to our calling. And if you wait until your capacity catches up to your calling, you will never do anything for God. You'll just sit there and wait and say, well, maybe God should just pick somebody who's better than me. Maybe God should pick somebody who has more education than I do. Maybe somebody younger than me. Maybe somebody older than me. Maybe somebody smarter than me. There is always going to be a reason why your life shouldn't step into the game of what God wants to do through you. And that gap that exists between you, where your capacity is now and the calling that God has placed on you, every person that God has used to do great things on planet Earth has had that gap and had to learn to live with it. And Moses, he's like going back and forth with God. And I kind of wonder if Moses at this point is wanting God to be like, oh, Moses, no, you're awesome. Oh, Moses, you're gifted. I think you're I love your personality. Oh, Moses, you're probably a one on the Enneagram and you're just amazing. Like, oh, Moses. No, but God looks back. Listen, God looks back at Moses in Moses' doubt and watch what God says to Moses. He says, nothing about Moses. Nothing about his capacity, his giftedness. I will be with you. That's all you need, Moses. You need a calling and you need confidence that the presence of God will lead you to fulfill the calling that he has placed upon your life. Some of us are so exhausted and we're not stepping into what God has for us because we keep staring into the mirror, asking the question, when will I be enough to do the thing that God has asked me to do? And God sent me to tell you, you will never be enough. But he also says, I will be with you, and that will be enough. My presence will go with you, before you. I'll do the miracle. I'll make it happen. I will be with you. I'm the one who sent you, Moses. I'm sending you back to Egypt. Well, when you've brought the people, here's your sign. Here's what you'll know. I'm the one who sent you. Here's your sign. When you come back, you will worship God at this very place. That's kind of funny. Like God saying, here's your sign. When you do it, you'll know I told you to do it. I like that. It's like God telling you, like, here's when you'll know I told you to have a kid. You'll have a kid. Here's when you'll know I told you to start that business. The business will come to fruition. In other words, God's saying, I am not ever going to take out the need for you to trust me. And that gap is not yours to fill. That gap between your capacity and your calling is not yours to fill. That gap is there so that the sovereign God of the universe can act on your behalf and fulfill the vision that he's placed inside of your heart and prove that he is God. So what's that thing that's inside of you that's been stirring and you keep talking yourself out of it because you feel like you're not qualified? Now, this story would be enough if that was the only doubt Moses had. But he had a few more, and he keeps going. God answers that doubt, and then Moses says, but, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, he's just like, they'll ask me, God, what's his name? And then what do I tell him? I don't know your name, God. You feel it from him, like all this doubt is just creeping in. And I love how God replies. He gives the name that God would be referred to through all of history from this point forward. And he says, this name is awesome. Like if you were going to choose a name, you should just choose this name. And God of the, it's already taken, so you can't choose it. But God replied to Moses, I am. That's awesome. It's like, I was, I am, I will be. That's all you need to know. I am the God who stands outside of time, outside of your problem, outside of, I am. Tell them I am who I am, that I am sent me. Who I am who? I am not, I am what? It's not all about what you are, Moses. It's that I am has sent you back to Egypt. But Moses protested again. But what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? I want us to see the second doubt that Moses has is I might fail. I might fail. I might do it and it not work. I might start the business and it doesn't come to fruition. I might sign up to lead an echo group and nobody shows up to my echo group. I might start serving and then the kid has a soccer game at the same time as the church service. And you're like, well, I just can't do it. There's all these reasons why I can't do the thing that God has asked me to do. But what I believe is so important for any of us who want to live with irresistible influence, we need to understand God is way more concerned with obedience than he is success. Way more concerned. And some of us are overly concerned with the success of the thing that God has asked us to do. And so we stay on the sideline and don't actually obey the promptings that God puts inside of our hearts. What is that thing that you would do if you were certain it would not fail or you would not fail? And chances are, tucked within that question, deep within your fear of failure, is the very thing that God has been prompting you to do. You notice that God is very persistent with Moses and with us. And some of you have a prompting inside of you that God, it might be somebody in your life he's calling you to love. It might be something in the church that he's asking you to do. It might be a sum of money that God keeps telling you that you're supposed to give that sum away to further his kingdom, but you just keep saying, no, but what if I do that and I give that away and then I can't do this over here? And God is saying, I am not concerned with your success the way you're concerned with success. You've placed success as a higher value than I have. What I have placed at the top is obedience. And the question is, will you obey the thing that I've asked you to do? What's the thing that you would do if you were certain that you would not fail? And tucked within that is a prompting that God is pushing you towards. And God looks at Moses and just pleads, and God persists. And there's one more request. Now, I could go into this story longer. There's more to it, but for the sake of time, we're going to just finish on this last doubt that Moses has. So he comes back and he pleads with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with my words, and I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I could get tongue-tied, and my words get today, Junior, tangled. Tangled. That was a Billy Madison reference. Nobody under the age of 35 got that. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. And the third doubt that Moses wrestles through is I don't have what it takes. I don't. So connected to this, I'm unqualified. And maybe there is a part of you that you keep writing off. I'm too shy. I'm too extroverted. I don't have good words. I'm not a good writer. I shouldn't be an author. There are all these reasons why you can't do it. And God looks at Moses and it says, but the Lord said to Moses, and God wants to say this to you today. Listen to these words. Who gives a person their mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, or hear or do not hear, or see or do not see? Y'all, when we first started in ministry about 20 plus years ago, I was a middle school minister, and Stacy, my wife, can attest, there were so many of my messages that were so painful to listen to that I am surprised she didn't break up with me and dump me because it was so bad, because she didn't want to have to come to the same church I was serving at. I mean, that's how bad they were. And this passage of scripture, God would use so many times in my journey when I'd get stuck on my words, I would stutter, I would have a hard time. And what God says to Moses, I can make you speak. I can put stuff inside of you that's beyond your giftedness and your capacity. So if you're so emphatic about your giftedness, you will never do the thing that I want you to do. Yes, develop the gift, grow the gift, get better at speaking. But way more than you getting better at speaking, you need to understand that if you get words from God, speak words from, make the emphasis hearing words from God, not making your gift better. And some of us, we are so emphatic about what we don't have. When God is saying, I gave humans their eyes, I gave them their mouth, I gave them their ears, and I can take all of that I've given to you and I can put it into fruition. If I fill you, if I give you power, if I sustain you, there is no limit to what I can do with you and through you. So finally, Moses, yes, thank you for your doubt. Yes, thank you for sharing honestly. God is really gracious with Moses. At this point, God should have been really frustrated. In fact, it says that he eventually eventually got really angry with him. But Moses repeats again, like, why send somebody else? But watch this. Now go, I will be with you and speak, and I will instruct you what to say. Again, Moses says, Lord, please, please, please send somebody else. Send somebody. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. Like, eventually it's like, okay, Moses, we've talked about this doubt long enough, and you need to respond. And what struck me as I was reading this story this week is I kind of wonder if there was anybody else that God came to. Like, I wonder if there was another person that God stirred on their heart to go to Pharaoh, and that person resisted him long enough that they didn't step into it. See, not everybody who gets a calling from God acts on that calling. And there are some of you that there are cities and businesses and ministries inside of you. There are whole orchards of influence in the kingdom of God that are waiting to be unleashed and will remain dormant in your life without you acting on it. And what God will do is he will graciously respond to your doubt. But your resistance could make you miss out on living an irresistible life. Notice that there is a big difference. Listen, there is a big difference between resisting and wrestling. Like, wrestling is, I have this doubt, I have this fear, I feel like I'm not enough, God will hang in there with you. But the resistance is, you know what, I'm not gonna do it, God. It's not me, choose somebody else, I got too much going on, I'm busy, I got too many kids, I have all these issues, I can't do the thing that you're asking me to do. And your resistance, listen, your resistance could make you miss an irresistible life. And some of you, you are just stubborn to God. And God is knocking on the door of your heart, and you've been resisting him for years. And you've just been saying, nope, 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 nope. And eventually, God will move on. Eventually, he'll move on. And eventually, you have to make a decide. Are you going to act on it, or are you going to stay? Are you going to stay put and let your doubt consume your life? Are you going to choose that life of least resistance and a life without faith and boldness? Or are you going to act? And Moses, listen, Moses almost misses his calling. And eventually, after God deals with his doubt, come back to this last verse. It says, so Moses took his wife, put him on a donkey, and headed back to the land of Egypt. And in his hand, he carried the staff of God. Eventually, Moses had to act on the thing that God told him to do. God will deal with your doubt without eliminating your next step. God will deal with your fear. God will come and talk through your anxiety with you, but God does not eliminate that step of obedience that he asks you to take. Eventually, Moses, you got to put your wife and your kids on a donkey and a carriage and go back to Egypt, load it up, and do the thing I am telling you to do. Eventually, you have to act. Your doubt, you've wrestled through it long enough. You've had freedom. We've been here in front of this burning bush for long enough. We've had a bunch of doubts. We've gone through all your doubts. And now, Moses, you got to make a choice. Are you going to go back? Or are you going to stay here where it's comfortable, where it's easy, where nobody knows you? Or are you going to go back? It might not work. You might fail. You might lose your life in the process. But you're going to die knowing that you responded in obedience to a dream and a vision that I put inside of your heart. So you got to step. And God, he will not eliminate that step for you. And that step will always, listen, my next step will always require me to trust and obey God. Always require. It always requires you to obey God. There's something inside of you that God is asking you to do that requires trust and obedience. And you're waiting on the edge. And God is saying, today is your day. Maybe today's your day to sign up for an Echo team. Today, for our dream team. Maybe today is your day to put your trust in Jesus. And there are some of you, your right next step today is right in front of you. And that's the question, what's your right next step? What's the right next thing that God is asking you to do? And for some of you today, that right next step is for you to go public with your faith in Jesus through baptism. And I want to speak to all of you at all of our campuses right now, because I know that there are a number of you that God has been stirring in your heart. You've made a decision to follow Jesus and you haven't gone public with your faith in him. And today is your day to take that step. In fact, we're prepared. At all of our campuses, we have people who are ready for you to be baptized. And we say here that everything we do is about leading people to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him. So we're all about helping you take that next step, whether it's trusting in him for the first time, going public with your faith through baptism. And we say that baptism is a lot like a wedding ring. So a wedding ring doesn't make a person married. It symbolizes an internal decision that a person has already made in their heart. So when you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, when you go into the water, it represents that there is an old way of life that is passing away. And when you come up out of the water, it represents a new life in Jesus. Jesus died on a cross for your sins and my sins. He conquered the grave so that we can have hope and life. And by trust in him, our sins, our brokenness is washed away. The Spirit of God steps in and changes everything. And when you get baptized, it symbolizes the washing of your sin, the renewal of your soul, new relationship with God. And today there are some of you that you've been coming, you've made a decision, or even today is that moment for you to put your trust in him. And we're ready for you. In fact, we have shorts and t-shirts and feminine products and blow dryers and towels and everything that you need to take that step of faith to go public with your decision to follow Jesus. So right now, we're going to have a time of reflection. Our service is a little different. We're going to sing two songs, and we're going to just ask God to move in our hearts. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you are in your journey of faith today, to wrestle through that question, what's my next step? And for those of you that the Spirit of God is stirring in your heart to be baptized, we want to invite you to step out during this first song, to go to the back at all of our campuses and meet one of our amazing Dream Team members there that have everything that you need to go public with your faith in Jesus. And together, we'll celebrate as you take this step. So I want to invite you, as we do this, I want to pray over us, and that at all of our campuses, as we worship together to take this step of obedience, for those that the Spirit of God is stirring in your heart today to go public with your faith in Jesus. And when you do, we'll celebrate you with you, we'll rejoice with you over your obedience. Now is the time to act. God's been stirring in your heart, and as he's stirring, he is saying, do not delay today. Obey me, whatever it is, whether it's baptism, salvation, getting involved, being generous, obey the voice of God and let him lead you beyond your capacity. He will deal with your doubt, but he's not going to eliminate the step that's right in front of you. Father, thank you for the power of your Spirit to move. Even now, as people are processing all of our campuses, this decision to be baptized, I pray that you'd stir in us and help us respond in obedience to your voice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me at all of our campuses? And if today you want to take that step, I want to encourage you to go to the back during this song to be baptized.